I always like to start with this story. Two cannibals are stirring the pot. And they got some missionaries in there that they're boiling. And one of them says to the other, you know, no matter how long I boil these missionaries, I just can't get them tender. And the one says to the other, well, what kind of missionaries are they? And he says, you know those guys with the brown habit and the rope on their waist and sandals on their feet? He said, well, no wonder. You can't boil those missionaries. Those are friars. Those of you who live here probably heard that before. Great to be with you. I'm a native of Texas, so I'm always happy to come back. I haven't been in Texas, actually, in quite a few years, so it's a great joy to be here. My sister lives in Duncanville, near Dallas, so she'll be here Sunday, I hope. In any case, let me begin by asking how many of you today are here just learning about the divine will for the first time? Well, not too many. Okay. How many have known about it for a year or more? Most. Okay, great. That's great. That's very helpful. How many were any of you in Tampa, Florida last weekend for the Divine Will Conference? Good. I can tell the same jokes I told there. We had a wonderful conference. The Center for the Divine Will organized about 400 people. Came in, actually it was an international conference, they came from as far away as New Zealand. So we had 13 priests. It was a really wonderful experience of an international gathering of people who are coming to know Louisa and studying the divine will. Were any of you in Italy last year for the fourth international conference in Louisa's hometown in Corrado? Nobody was there. Okay. Well, actually, what I'd like after the prayer is to start with a little summary of that conference, because it was a very, very important one, probably the most important one that was ever held for the divine will in Italy, in Louisa's hometown. But first, let's start with a prayer. We do call this a retreat. It's going to have a lot of information, a lot of talks, and hopefully some questions, but we do hope to keep it as prayerful as we can. So did you all get a schedule? You have a schedule there. Okay. Tomorrow, one of the things I'd like to add to it, I've been doing in this theme for the year of mercy, the Jubilee of Mercy, since I'm one of those priests who was commissioned to be an apostle, a missionary of mercy for this year, is to talk about God's mercy, especially divine mercy of St. Faustina, who was, of course, a contemporary of Louisa, and how the divine mercy and the divine will are really the great signs of the age in which we live. They're really the great signs of our times, if you think about it. Certainly, divine mercy is quite well known now throughout the church, which has only happened in the last 30, 40 years. And, of course, the divine will is still coming to be known. So let's begin our time together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us together. We thank you for life. We thank you for all that you are. We thank you especially that you've made known to us now the mystery of your will, as St. Paul says. You're teaching us now in the greatest way possible what your will is in itself, not just something out there that we can do or accomplish, but as the very life force of God himself that wants to live in us and work in us and act in us and do everything that we do with us. So thank you, Father, for making it known to us. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that makes it possible for us to know your will. For without the Holy Spirit, we can't know you at all. So we invite the one will of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to come and live in us. We give God, we give you that full authority and permission to reign in us, to take control of us, to take over our lives and do everything that you want to accomplish, even though we don't know always what it is. But we trust that your will knows and will bring it about. So come, divine will, think in our thoughts today and receive this gift in our souls. Listen in our listening. Breathe in our breathing. Beat in our heartbeats. Circulate in our memory, our intellect, and our will. May all that we do and think and say be for the good of all souls and the glory of our eternal Father, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, help us to know what it means, not just to do God's will, but to live in it at all times. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us. Saint Hannibal de Francia, pray for us. Servant of God, Luisa Picaretta. All our patron saints, our guardian angels, St. Francis and St. Clair, St. Anthony, all the angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We always thank God for life because, as you know, it's become so precious and vulnerable in our day. And it reminds me of another story that a priest, a Jewish rabbi, and an evangelical pastor were discussing when life begins. And so they were asking this question of each other, and the evangelical pastor said, well, we believe that life begins when you give your life, turn your life over to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior. The Catholic priest said, well, you know, we believe that life begins at conception. And the Jewish rabbi said, you want to know when life begins? I'll tell you when life begins. Life begins when the dog is dead and the kids have moved out of the house. That's when life begins. Some of us are at that age. So welcome. Let me just share a few thoughts. And this is especially, well, it's for everybody because it seems that none of you were at the conference, the international conference on Luisa's life and writings last year in Corrado. And I'd just like to share a few summary thoughts. It can also help those of you who are new who may have some questions such as, is this accepted by the church? Or, you know, are we allowed to talk about the divine will? Are we allowed to read Luisa's writings? Because for some years it has been controversial, very much like St. Faustina's writings were controversial. And in fact, they were on the index of forbidden books in the church at one time. Did you know that? That even St. Faustina, now so widely accepted in the church, was not always accepted. So these things do change in the church as time goes on. We have some private revelations going on today that are still not fully accepted by the church, and the church takes sometimes many years to come to that discernment. But in any case, some of the things that happened last year were this. For one, and I'll share more about this tomorrow, we have now an official biography of Luisa by the church, and that is such a great gift. It's called the Son, S-U-N, of My Will, which is a phrase often repeated in Luisa's writings. It's written by a mystical theologian from Italy, Maria Rosaria del Genio. And she wrote this after researching Luisa for a couple of years. She was not at the conference, but she had a beautiful video that was played during the conference. About 2 weeks before it was to go to print, I got an email from the head of the association in Italy saying, Father Robert, the translator who works for Carlo Catholic Media, didn't know anything about Louisa when she translated this from Italian to English. Would you be willing to help her and to edit her translation? Because I've been studying for close to 20 years. So I said, okay. I said, how long do I have? He said, about 2 weeks. I said, well, that's not very long. So, and I was working full time at Radio Maria then as director, working 10, 12 hour days. So I did it at night, basically. But in any case, I was very privileged to be the first really to see it in English and to work on it and to help put it in the form it's in. So I said, if you find errors in the English, you can blame them on me. But the good news is this is an official biography published by Vatican Press. It is that Vatican Press is the official instrument of the church for publishing. And so we're very, very blessed. And what it sends a very strong signal to the world and to everybody in the church that, everything's okay now with Louisa. All of the theologians who were assigned to study her writings have now given their approval. Those were two from the Congregation of the Faith and two from the Sacred Congregation of the Saints. So theologically, there's no longer a question about Louisa. And that is such great news because it puts us all at peace. But at the same time, we were reminded that until the editors of Louisa's writing in Italian come out with what's called a critical edition, we cannot publish her writings officially. But that we could continue to print them and copy them for the use of our groups and for our private use, which is what we're doing now. If you happen to see what happened in Tampa, Father Carlos Macier, who is probably one of the foremost, at least in our part of the world, for teaching the divine will, he's from Mexico but works in Miami and Nicaragua, and he kind of got it backwards at the conference, and we had to talk about it after, and he corrected himself. But the truth is, you cannot take anything from the internet because that's considered publishing. And you can find all of these volumes on the internet in any language you want, just about. It's actually now available in Chinese, believe it or not, done by a monk of Taizé, a Chinese monk from Taizé. So you can find them in just about any language on the internet. However, the internet, and his are not there, but I'm just saying it's available in so many languages. But we are not allowed to use the internet because that is legally, by international law, considered publishing. Okay? And the moratorium is on publishing because anything that's that available to the public is published. What we can do is print. We can. We are able to print. And that's what we've been doing here, and thanks be to God, some of us have access to those writings, and hopefully we'll all have them available to us. They did not discuss translations, but the bishop was very clear. When I say the bishop, I'm speaking of the bishop of Louisa's diocese, Archbishop Giovanni Battista Picchieri, who says that whatever you do, be careful you have a good translation, because they're not all as good as others. And the one that I use and that you use is the same, and I believe it's the best we have available in English today. So you can feel secure that what you have is a good translation and continue to use it and to make copies of it, okay? The other question that came up, somebody asked, Don Sergio Pellegrini is the priest director of the Association Louisa Picaretta, which has to do with all of the things to do with her cause. You can say, well, why am I going into all this detail? Well, because Louisa was always absolutely obedient to the church. And if we're going to follow this way of life, we need to be obedient also. So we want to do everything in conformity and in obedience to the authority of the church, which is, for the most part, besides Rome, her association in Italy that's responsible for not only her cause, but her writings. So the head of this association, who's the pastor of Louisa's parish where she lived and died, someone asked him, what can we read now? Because I know a lot of you have remember that for many years we were told you can only read the first 19 volumes. Okay, not even, you weren't even supposed to read anything beyond. So somebody asked him this question, and he said, well, what we do in Italy in our groups is we start with volume 1 and we read through volume 36. And he had a big grin on his face. So those of you who know enough about Italian way of communicating would know that it basically what he was saying is if you have access to them all, you can read them all. So that's what I think most people in the world are doing today in any country I know. Some still recommend that we don't go past volume 20. The reason is not that there's error or anything, but they don't have from the church an official imprimatur that the first 19 have. And so from 20 to 36 have yet to receive the imprimatur. The imprimatur will not be given to the Book of Heaven until all 36 are finished in what's called the critical edition. It's been done, being done right now by experts in Italy working for the Congregation of the Faith. It's very costly and very time-consuming work. Right now, I believe there's somewhere around volume 15, so not even halfway there. But they've gotten this far in about 3 years, so we're hoping within the next 3 to 5 years we may see it completed. Plus, they've learned a lot along the way, so the work is going faster now. So what they're doing is they're taking Luisa's extensive writings, going over them with a fine-tooth comb, and saying, this is what Luisa would have meant in her time. This is what is to be understood in the context of church teaching, with footnotes, etc., editing it all. So it's a lot of details that perhaps you wouldn't be so interested in, but I think because we're living in this era of the church in which the divine will is still being formulated in a sense, not only the writings, but the interpretation of Luisa, that it's very, very important that we have the security to know that it's being done by very fine people, people who know theology, people who know language, who know Luisa. And we hope that an English translation may be out again, maybe around 5 years from now. That's probably the best scenario. Seems like a long time. But until then, we have a very good translation that we're able to use. The theme of this conference last year was called Church in the Divine Will. And it was a very well-chosen title because the point they were trying to make is that the divine will, this teaching of Luisa, can never be taken out of the context of the church, and the church can't be taken out of the divine will. In other words, as St. Hannibal de Francia would say, we have boundaries in the doctrine, the theology of the church, and you can't go outside of those. And unfortunately, the way Luisa's been interpreted over the last 20, 30 years or more, has not always been in those boundaries. I'll give you an example. Some people will say that this is the absolute, most complete and perfect coming of the kingdom on earth possible. Does that sound like something the church would teach? No, it is not. The church says Jesus ushered in the kingdom on earth. It continues coming through the church, but it will only come absolutely, perfectly, finally when Jesus returns. That's the teaching of the Catholic Church. So what we're doing is we're moving over these last 2,000 years and over however many years left there are till he returns to a greater and greater fullness of the coming of the kingdom. What we do have in the divine will in Luisa, as someone said, is that it's like warp speed from Star Trek, putting us into a whole new dimension of this coming of the kingdom. So that through our understanding now of God's will and how he wants it to reign in our souls and more on earth, we've taken a huge leap forward towards the final coming of the kingdom. When Jesus returns. And Jesus will tell him, he says, you know, God the Father is the only one who knows. Jesus says in the gospel, I don't know when that will be. But God the Father knows exactly when you learn that will be, how many acts you and I need to perform in the will of God, which will bring Jesus back. And he says, those must be fulfilled in order to bring creation as we know it today to an end and into its final new creation. So the same thing happened with the coming of Jesus. All of the Old Testament, all that happened before Christ, especially culminating in Mary, who then prayed in the will of God because she had the gift completely in herself. Mary, by the way, is an exception. Mary's the only creature. Jesus is not a creature. He shares in our humanity, but he's not a creature. Mary's the only creature in whom the will of God has ever reigned perfectly. So Mary's prayer, because she was in the will of God, is the last kind of great intercessor for the kingdom to come, is what allows the incarnation to come and be embodied in her womb in Jesus Christ, Son of God, Son of Man. So it took all of these acts, as Jesus will say, there were how many between Adam and his incarnation, 4,000 years, more or less, since the creation of man and the incarnation of Jesus. It took all of those acts and all of the people were doing to learn about God and to follow his laws and to try to live his will as they knew it possible. But it all culminates in Mary's prayer for the Messiah to come. And so the Messiah comes through her. She's still surprised when she's the one in whom the Messiah is coming. But Mary's prayer was the most powerful to make this happen. Now what he's saying is he needs our prayer and our acts throughout the rest of human history for the second coming. And it's only the acts of those living in the will of God as it increases, the kingdom comes more and more on earth for Jesus to return. So it's a very great calling, a great responsibility. But it all happens in the church. One of the great things to see in Corrado last year were talks, for example, by bishops and one cardinal was there, the cardinal prefect emeritus of the Congregation of the Saints. He gave the opening mass and the opening homily, which was about half an hour, all about Louisa. This is a cardinal of the church. So it was wonderful to see how she's so well accepted now in the church. There were other bishops speaking, people speaking about Louisa and the Second Vatican Council and how it all comes together, you see, today in our time and how blessed we are. I always like to say to newcomers, if any of you are just here for the first time, this is one of the most important days of your life. Because God only calls those to know about this whom he has already destined to receive the gift. And he says that the one who goes, and she says, all around the earth to choose those who will hear about this and come to know it and love it, or those Mary has chosen. He gives this job, this duty to Our Lady to go around earth today and find those souls who are disposed. You can say, well, what do I need to be disposed? It's a great question. No matter how I try to find some common denominator that fits everybody who's here, or everybody who's ever come to know about it, it's very difficult. But here are a few. A love for Our Lady. A love for Mary. A love for the Holy Eucharist. A love for the Holy Spirit in a very special way, because this is called the fiat of the Holy Spirit, the fiat of sanctification. And that's a talk I'll be giving this weekend on the role of the Holy Spirit and the mission of the Holy Spirit for the divine will. So if you have an openness to the Holy Spirit, a love for the Holy Spirit, the sanctifier, then that has a lot to do with your being here. And most of all, and this is the common denominator I have found the most common among everyone.